some the latter. The team argued about it as they tenderly carried their space-suited bodies back to Goethe Base. From there, they were flown up to Himawari, still in orbit around Mercury. The medical team there determined that both men had died of dehydration. They were only 5 kilometers from Goethe Base when they died. The recording found on Yamagata's suit radio was sent to his son, Nobuhiko, in New Kyoto. Alexios's recording was sent to Lara Tierney Molina in her family's home in Colorado.
Epilogue. Last Wills. Lara sat alone in her old bedroom in her family's house in Colorado, listening to Mance's grating, bone-dry voice forcing out the words that would clear her husband. He confessed to everything, to assuming the identity of Dante Alexios, to spiriting the rocks from Mars and planting them on Mercury, to luring Victor to Mercury and making him the victim of the hoax. Victor can clear his name with this, she thought. He'll never outlive the stigma entirely, but at least he can show that he was deliberately duped, that he's not a cheat. He can rebuild his career. She looked out the bedroom window and saw that evening shadows were draping the distant mountains in shades of purple. Victor would be coming home soon, she knew. She briefly wondered why she felt no joy, not even a sense of relief that Victor's ordeal was at last finished. But she knew why. Mance is dead. That's finished, too. Tears misted her eyes as she thought of all the things that might have been, but a chill ran through her. Victor was willing to send Mance to hell because he loved me and wanted me. And Mance fought his way out of exile and died on Mercury because he loved me. He gave up his revenge on Victor. He even gave up his life because he loved me. She began sobbing softly, wondering what she should do now, what she could do. She felt surrounded by death. Then she heard footsteps pounding up the stairs, and before she could dab at her eyes with a tissue, the bedroom door flung open and Victor Jr. burst in. "Daddy's home!" the 8-year-old announced, as if it was the most glorious event in history. "He's parking his car in the driveway!" Lara got to her feet and smiled for her son. Life goes on, she told herself. Life goes on.
Sitting alone in the dim shadows of the small teak-paneled office of his privacy suite, where not even the oldest family retainer dared to interrupt him, Nobuhiko Yamagata listened in stony silence to his father's gasping, grating final words. "He knows that I caused the Sky Tower to fall," Nobuhiko said to himself. "He blames himself for teaching me to be ruthless. How like my father. Credit or blame, he takes it all for himself." 4 million deaths, the elder Yamagata's voice was rasping. "That is a heavy burden to bear, my son." Nobu nodded. Unbidden, a childhood memory rushed upon him. He was 6 years old, and he had run down one of the house's cats with his electric go-kart. His father loomed before him, his face stern. Young Nobu admitted he'd killed the cat, and even confessed that it was no accident. He'd deliberately tried to hit the animal. "I thought it would get out of my way," he said. "It was too fat and lazy to save itself." Father's face showed surprise for an instant, then he regained his self-control. "That creature's life was in your hands," he said. "It was your responsibility to protect it, not to kill it. The world is filled with fat and lazy creatures. You have no right to kill them simply because they get in your way." And he walked away from his son. No punishment, although Nobu drove his go-kart with greater care afterward, for a while. 4 million deaths, his father's voice rasped from the audio speaker. "And mine, too. I'm dying because of the Sky Tower." Nobu's eyes widened. "Father, I've murdered you." Aloud, he cried, "What have I done? What have I done?" As if he could hear his son's sudden anguish, Saito Yamagata gasped, "If you have any feelings for me, come to Mercury. Finish my work. Please, Nobu, give us the stars." His father's voice went silent. Nobuhiko sank back against his desk chair. The intimate office was lit only by the lamp on his desk, a single pool of light against the shadows. Nobu fingered the controls in his chair's armrest that turned the office ceiling transparent. Leaning his head back, he saw the stars glittering in the dark night sky. "Father went to Mercury to atone for his sins," Nobuhiko thought. "Now he expects me to do the same, to atone for my own." His lips curled into an ironic smile. "Leave everything and traipse off to Mercury to build power satellites that will propel a starship. How like Father. Always trying to make me live up to my responsibilities." Nobu got to his feet. "I suppose I could direct the Star Project from here," he thought. "I can visit Mercury, but I don't have to remain there permanently." He knew he was fooling himself. As he left his office and rejoined his family, he wondered how long it would take to travel to Alpha Centauri.
We hope you have enjoyed Mercury, an Audio Renaissance audiobook from Tor Books. This program was produced by Stefan Rodnicki. Text copyright 2005 by Ben Bova. Production copyright 2005 Audio Renaissance, a division of Holtzbrinck Publishers, LLC. All rights reserved.